Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children and anarchists of all ages, welcome to the Dark Lord Reaper United States of Anarchy podcast. Who am I? I'm the Dark Lord himself, the man without a plan, the Nightmare Cake, giving you hardcore facts and real topics. If you're looking for celebrity gossip, this is not the podcast for you. This podcast is for real topics, real situations, for real people, and occasionally we have fun over here. If you don't like what I have to say on my blog podcast, don't listen. Boycott my podcast. Boycott my social media account. Boycott anything that I have my name attached to. That simple, people. Now, it's been a while, but I'm back again. I know you guys love hearing my lovely speaking voice. Well, here I am, the video game toy and trailer reviews. And my God, we have a lot to cover, from the current of Snowfall to the new full trailer for the new season of Mayans MC, my review of Sonic the Hedgehog Part 2, as well as some new toy drops and trailers for new video games to come out in the coming year. So buckle up, hold on tight, and let's have some fun. And we're back. So we are doing TV, movie, video game, toy, food, and trailer reviews. So in this segment, I wanted to go over the new trailer for Jurassic World Dominion, which is supposed to be the final installment of the Jurassic Park series, period. And wow, we got a blast from the past. The original cast of the first Jurassic Park movie that came out in 95 are not making a cameo appearance. They're making a return to the series. And that Asian doctor who keeps making these specialized raptors, he's back too. Which brings me to something that I always want to say. Stop letting this guy into a lab. Every time you let him into a lab, some shit kick off. But it comes out this June coming. I can't wait to see it. I'm interested to see it. So look out for my reviews on it. Which brings me to my review of the trailer for what's supposed to come out this Friday, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which is supposed to pick up right after Spider-Man No Way Home. We're going to see Wong in action, and we actually get to see a debut of a few characters to the MCU, which means America Chavez of the Ultimates. So that means that a certain character who I've been dying to see live action and deserves live action treatment is going to appear. And rumor has it that in this movie we are going to see a new Wolverine. So here's hoping. Let's see what happens, ladies and gentlemen. So we got to see Modo. He comes back and he's looking Modo-ish. We haven't seen him since the first Doctor Strange movie. And according to San Diego Comic-Con, they have revealed the plan for the next 10 years for the MCU. So just take all my money right now. They just gonna take all my money, huh? So that's it for this segment. When we come back, I am going to review the much anticipated, well, at least for me, the much anticipated first three episodes of Mayans MC. And we're back. So we are going to go over the first three episodes of season 4 of Mayans MC. Now let me briefly touch on what happened in the season finale of season 3 of Mayans MC. In the season finale, Kanche, who is the leader of the Yuma, Arizona charter of the Mayans, mounts a full-on scale attack on the Santo Padre charter of the Mayans right after he murdered one of the Arizona charters. Leaders, Elbari, the guy with the wicked gnarly beard, and that was a wicked double cross, but hey, that's the game you play. So, the season starts off. Let's start with episode one, cleansing of the temple. So the attack starts. Easy standing in the courtyard for the Santo Padre Charter. And Angel and Creeper had to come and grab him because they realized they're under attack. Fortunately, the gate was closed, else it would have been a massacre. So Hank, the sergeant at arms, he runs into the main meeting place, the temple, where they have their meetings. And they see Bishop and Taza tussling. He runs right past them, not even acknowledging that these two are fighting. And goes for the weapons, and the weapons aren't there. Like, their gun stash is not there. He turns around and says, gets away from the window. The second he says it, a member from another charter, he gets a bullet to the chest, dead instantly. That was an intense season premiere. Like, oh my god. And who knew the hero we didn't know we needed? Creeper. This guy, we finally get some backstory and character development on this character. But that wasn't even the most impressive part. Like, it was great acting in the first episode. It was great acting. So Coco, the guy who's been MIA most of season 3, and Gilly roll up on Santo Pod on their clubhouse. They roll up and they see the attack. As a result, the guns get blown up, but they sneak into the clubhouse and Coco is confronted. They're like, yo, where the hell have you been? And he was like, yo, I got myself into some shit. Gilly was the only person that came and helped me. And they were like, yo, you should have come to us. Which is true. That's what the Brotherhood is about. If you're in trouble, they're supposed to help you. So Conchay's calling for Easy because Easy was the one he saw the last season when the bomb went off. So he holds Easy accountable. So he goes out. So all of them go outside, basically to face the wrath of the club. And who shows up like that parent that just pops up out of nowhere and catches you doing wrong? Who shows up but El Padrino himself, Marcus Alvarez. Now, a fan theory is that when Hank was calling his mother, as in like the last phone call, a lot of people feel that Hank was talking in code to Alvarez. So that's an interesting fan theory. So I've never seen Alvarez react like that. He's usually a cool customer, cool, calm, and collected, even when he's upset. Like when you hear him cursing under his breath in the original Sons of Anarchy series, he's like, oh, the mother. It's kind of funny, but it's not. So he shows up and he's like, you putting a gun to my primo, I say. And then a guy, I guess he didn't know who Alvarez was. That had to be the smoothest gun butt I've ever seen. He said, you putting a gun on me? Boop. And then he asks Conchay, he's like, yo, Conchay, what have you done? Like, what is this? Conchay's like, yo, you didn't start this. I didn't start this, which is true. It's the truth. Conchay did not start it. Well, yes, he did, but no, he didn't. Because I don't know if he had a hand in the green light on Easy that Ramos did. I don't know if he was aware of it or had a hand in it. So the way he's reacting, I guess he didn't know what Ramos did. So he's basically an innocent party. So El Padrino, he flips out, he's cursing, he's like, this is my club, my club, my club. So that episode ends. Episode 2, which premiered this very same night, it picks up 4 months later, and I hate these time jumps. So it's 4 months later, and we see Easy in the yard doing burpees, like he always does. He's always doing those burpees. And we finally get a backstory on what it was like for him in prison and how he survived all this while and why he does the burpees exercises. So we see Bishop riding. He shows up to Santo Padre. He pulls up, and we see guys from the Yuma-char hanging out there. Like, it's more Mayans than normal, that you normally would see. And as we look at his chest, we see that he's been demoted. We see him, you know, demoted to vice president. And it made me, and I had a question, but it got answered in the following episode, in episode 3, which aired this week. We see El Patrino roll into the room, and it's like, yeah. So now El Patrino appointed himself as the president of the Santo Padre chapter, because remember, he's from Oakland. He used to head up the Oakland chapter of the Mayans. So we see the first templo where he's running the club, and we see Taza still has the vice president patch on his chest, along with Bishop still being the most. So I had a question, is like, first of all, how is Taza still alive, and why was he allowed to keep the vice president patch on his chest? It was just interesting to me. So there's still a lot of bad blood and harsh feelings amongst club members. We see Hank, he's walking with a cane now, because during the siege, he got hit right below the knee. So now he has a limp. But I'm pretty sure Hank is still that dude. I'm pretty sure he's still that dude. If you want to test him in a fight, he can still, you know, beat the skin off. So Griefer still has his status in the club. Angel and Griefer, they were not demoted. Gilly and Coco, as a punishment, they were demoted. They were put on probation. And they remove their bottom rocker that says where they're from. So they're basically like, you know, prospect level. And Gilly is basically, you know, he's pissed. He's upset. Like, he's upset because, like, yo, I got demoted. Like, what the hell? Coco is clean, he's sober. And the girl that he was all messed about with is, you know, she's staying with him now. And his daughter, Letty, she obviously does not like this girl. So we're introduced to a new character. His name escapes me, but he's supposed to be as smart as Easy. And Easy is, you know, like, they make peace. It's like, you know, it wasn't personal. He's letting them know that, like, look, man, he gave him a history lesson. He was like, you want to know why the real Mayans got wiped out by Cortez? He said it wasn't Cortez. It was, like, other tribes that were jealous of the Mayans started going at them, thinking that Cortez was their friend. He's like, he's saying that, you know, we need to make peace. Let's not let history repeat itself, because when our Cortez shows up, we won't be ready. So Bishop, he's still sowing that seed of division amongst the, because he's still, you know, pissed off. And a lot of the members of Santo Padre are with him. He's like, what was that about? He was like, history lesson. He's like, don't forget where you're from. He's like, I won't. And he's like, I won't. And he's like, yo, the only club that matters is this club, Santo Padre. Fuck everybody else. Those are his words. But as you can see, him and Taza have not many fences. And Taza actually tried, he's like, yo, I'm with you no matter what the press. He's like, yo, I don't care what you say. He's like, the only reason you ain't dead is because some false sense of loyalty. But me and you ain't good. Not good. He's like, I'm not okay with what you did with our brother Riz. He's like, get the hell away from me. So that was pretty much the gist of episode 2. So episode 3 popped. No. That was the gist of episode 2. You have some new girls hanging around the club. One of them, you can tell that she's not the most feminine. And one of the songs, one of the Yuma guys was making fun of her, like saying, you know, you look like Justin Bieber. So she gets upset and she leaves, right? So she walks around and she finds the drum with the dead body of Montez. Now, for those of you who remember Montez, he's supposed to be the road captain from Sam Crow, but he was with the San Bernardino chapter, which brings us back to San Bernardino chapter of the Sons of Anarchy. So they think Montez has been out bad this whole time. So they're having a debate, and they're like, because they're upset about what happened with the whole Mayan war that happened in their backyard, because Hap told them in the beginning of season 3 that he's the one that's running Verdue, and he let it be known. He's like, if you guys want to, if you guys even think about riding through any SOA territory, we want to call, show us the proper respects to let us know that you're in town, which is actual protocol. You have to let, if you are in opposition of another club, whether you are on good terms or bad, you have to let them know that you're in town. And they did not pay the proper respects. So the vice president of San Bernardino, he wants to go to war. But the president and Chibs made it clear, like, look, war is bad for business. And he's like, yo, Santo Padre's on its last legs. Let them deal with each other, and then we will just pick the bone. So this girl finds Montez's body and finds his cut. So she shows her sister. Her sister used to date the vice president of that club. So it shows them the cut. So basically, it's setting up for the war that we didn't get in the original series. So episode 3 picks up. In the second episode, Taza made it clear that Santo Padre has not been tapped for a protection run, nothing. It's like we're being starved out. A lot of people would say, you know, it's payback for starving them out when you were running the Galindo cartel pipeline. So Conche, he feels like he's basically the center of the universe, because if you remember the season finale, he set up a drug pipeline with Lobo Sonora, with the help of the now deceased El Palo, if you remember that character from that, basically knew all of Taza's secrets. So they're like, yeah, if you want to get us in bed with Lobo Sonora, they have a favor to ask. This guy needs to be smuggled out of the country. So Easy says, yeah, we can do it. Me and my brother, we can do it. And Angel's like, yo, I don't remember volunteering for this shit. So the guy from the Yuma chapter that Easy made nice with, he's like, yeah, I know the territory. We can smuggle him in at night. It won't be a problem. So Bishop, he's like, Bishop is still on his bullshit. He starts flipping out at the club. He starts flipping out at the meeting. He's like, you know, we didn't want to get in, we wanted to get out of from the Galindo, and now we're going to get involved with another cartel, and with this dude, and this dude's running it, da 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 da. So Alvarez is basically telling him, he's like, we are one club, but Bishop is still, you know, holding on to shit. So he keeps running off at the mouth, so Alvarez just goes and slams a knife on the table and says, yo, cut off the flash. So he's officially been demoted. Like, he's lost all his power. He's no longer president. He's a regular member now. As we know, that should have happened. Like, he's lucky to even still be in the club. And Taza, out of loyalty to him, takes the knife. He's like, I stand with my president. And he cut off his vice president, Flash. So, guess who's the new vice president of Santo Padre? Easy. And it's crazy. It's crazy that he hasn't been in the club that long, and he was just appointed VP. And he didn't do it underhandedly. He didn't ask for the office. He just was handed to him. So, oh yes, before I forget. So Hank has basically been spying for Alvarez. Well, he's the sergeant at arms. So it's his job to know what's going on in the club. To give out fines, discipline actions, all that. So Hank basically tells him, he's like, yo, a lot. Alvarez asks, he's like, am I going to have a problem with Bishop? He's like, a lot of people still look at him as the president, as our leader. He's like, honestly, we need you to heal us because our club is divided and we need you to, you know, heal us. Episode 3 was really dark. It was really a dark episode. So we actually see what happened to Nestor. He used to work for Galindo. He's now a security guard. So an interesting fan theory is, will Nestor be brought into the club and have to prospect? Which would be interesting because Angel made it clear that he never liked Nestor. So let's see if that's going to happen. This episode was pretty dark because it dealt with, like, you know, fatherhood and all that. And it dove back into some stuff that was unresolved storylines from SOA. If anybody that remembers, Alvarez had a son that was a member of the Mayans. And he was killed for retribution for a botched hit. So then they showed an episode we saw the guy that they were supposed to smuggle. Turns out he was molesting his son. And Angel did the right thing and put him down. But this is not what he was supposed to do with the club. So there's going to be repercussions for that. So that's my review for the first 3 episodes of Season 4 of Mayans MC. So in the next episode, I am going to go over the last couple of episodes that lead up to the season finale of Power Book 4 Force. And we're back. So in this segment, I am going to go over, well, what I remember from everything that led up to the season finale of Power Book 4 first. But before I do that, touching back on Mayans MC, I forgot to talk about Emily. Since her departure from Galindo, she's been living in hiding. And she's hidden their son, has her son living with her sister. So basically they're hiding and they have a whole plan that if Galindo were to show up again, which he will, we know he's going to pop back up sooner or later. And Adelita, the leader of the rebels, she apparently has been living on the run. But we haven't seen Lincoln Potter because if you remember the previous season, she asked him where is her child that she has with Angel, and she basically was planning on killing him. So we haven't seen Lincoln Potter, so we don't know if he's still alive because she went into a house in episode 3 with a knife. So we're not too sure so we don't know what she's up to. Her hair is like slowly growing back. So we don't know if she's still in control of the rebels. Will she play a factor in going at Lobo Sonora the same way she did with the Galindo cartel? We'll see what happens. Now, back to Power Book 4, Force. Oh my God. The story had so many twists and turns. Now let's go character by character. So, Walter Flynn, who is played by Tommy Flanagan, aka Chibs from Sons of Anarchy, the character has cancer, and he's not telling his kids, and, you know, he goes to scare the girl, the would-be girlfriend of Tommy, but they're not, that was just like a random hookup, but he cared about her. So Walter Flynn has a sit-down with Tommy, and he wants Tommy to come work for him. Meanwhile, Walter Flynn's daughter, she gets a hold of some kind of synthetic drug. and she calls it Dahlia. And basically everyone goes crazy for it. Everybody wants it. They're clamoring for it. And it causes a shitstorm. So Tommy meets a kid named D-Mac, who is down with CBI. Turns out D-Mac is the son of his half-brother. So that means that D-Mac is his nephew. So Tommy finds out, and he gives him a job, you know, to keep him out of trouble. And a lot of stuff happens. Now, quickly, let's go over the demographic of CBI. Chicago Brothers Incorporated. Now, Gerard, I got his name right this time, he does not like Tommy, and he doesn't like how Tommy's moving, and he wants to basically run CBI the way he's been running it for the last couple of years. But people, because Diamond is out of jail, they want to follow Diamond's leadership. So he's trying to ice Diamond out. And he spoke to one of his guys. He's like, what about Diamond? He said, either way, all the members are going to come to him. Which we see in the season finale that Gerard tried to have Diamond kill, but he missed. And Diamond started dating this girl, only to find out that she was a reporter that was doing research on him, and he found out. So Diamond isn't a fool. He's not a fool. And he's not a sucker either. So a ghost from Tommy's past, the Serbians, because, you know, Tommy and Ghost clipped their boy, wanted to get at him. R.I.P. to his lieutenant. She was a real one. After everything that happened, she held him down. Tommy's mom comes to visit. And he's like, oh my God. He's like, the one person I told you not to call, you called her. So D-Mac is like, hold up. Who's that old white bitch out there? He's like, yeah, that's your grandmother. He's like, yeah, she likes to be called old white bitch. Even because he had just recently been shot. So Tommy basically realized that D-Mac is very good with numbers. So the mistake that he made with Tariq, he's trying to make sure he does not make that same mistake with D-Mac. But his name is Darnell. His father does not like him being called D-Mac. And D-Mac is very intelligent. And like in school, they really didn't know what to do with him. And Tommy even said it. He said, yo, you can go further than any of us. It's like, yo, get out of this mess right here. Ultimately, I give Power Book 4 Force a 10 out of 10. Next season is going to be a firecracker because CBI has split up. Diamond, instead of killing his brother, gave him a pass and said, that territory, anything south of that is yours. Everything beside of that is mine. So Tommy made it clear he's done with that synthetic drug, Dahlia, but he wants to control the city. Walter Flynn's kids are not dealing with him anymore because of the underhanded stuff he did. So Tommy is back on the FBI's radar because if you remember in season one of Book 2 Force, the feds thought he was dead. But they see a major player and they're like, yo, this guy's a ghost. So Tariq's words rang true. He said, his father may be dead, but ghosts never die. So let's see what happens. I'm interested to see where it goes from here. So when we come back, I'm going to go over the new season of The Proud Family, the subtitle Louder and Prouder. And we're back, so we are talking about season 5 of Snowfall. Now this season we only got 10 episodes, but those 10 episodes were worth every minute. Now before I dive into what went down this season with like a broad stroke, let me go over, while I was talking about Proud Family, I forgot to give you guys my fans' theory. A lot of people, do you feel that Dejanay, the character Dejanay, is a stereotype and a bad friend, a frenemy? I'm going to leave the question up. And let me know in the comment section, because I'm going to leave the question up. So I'm going to let you guys know how that goes. So back to Snowfall. So season 5 picks up a few months after the events of season 4. Now if you remember, season 4, Franklin spent a long time healing up from the gunshots that was given to him by his ex-girlfriend. Well, he's moved on since then, and moved up in the world. He's got a real estate business going, he has legitimate businesses going, and legitimate business deals. He has a new girlfriend who helps to make money with him. And, like, everyone's doing well. Like, Uncle Jerome and Aunt Louie are moving independently of him, as they wanted to. So, basically, the only thing that's different is that Franklin's dad was killed in the season finale by the CIA agent, Teddy. So, what is new in this season? Well, Louie is basically getting her empowerment thing going. She wants to be more independent. She wants to be even more independent of Franklin and basically do what she wants to do because of who Teddy is, the supplier is. Now, spoiler alert, if you have not watched Snowfall, if you have not watched season 5, do not listen to this part. Skip over this part of the podcast and then come back to it. Keyword, spoiler alert, you have been warned. So, now that we got that over, so Teddy was supposed to be cut off from the CIA. He's gone. So, Franklin was dealing with a new CIA operative. And he was getting his coke cheaper. He was able to expand. Nice house, all that. Teddy comes back in and he just says, no, all this is wrong. Gets rid of the agent. He's like, I'm back in charge now. And the first thing you're going to do is get rid of this house. You're too exposed. People aren't supposed to know what you're doing. And that real estate business, shut it down. And basically, you know, telling him what's what. So this season, we actually have a bigger rift between Aunt Louie and Franklin, because she wants to be independent and she made promises about selling the coke cheaper, because now crack is a full-fledged thing. It's full-fledged. But I didn't know that Aunt Louie and Uncle Jerome weren't married. I had no idea. I thought they were already married and nuptials, whatever. And I had no idea that Uncle Jerome was a war veteran. I didn't know that about him either. So, Franklin's college buddy was slinging for him, but he was also getting high. And something went wrong at a party and a kid got killed. And Franklin had to come clean it up. And Franklin killed his college friend. If you remember this guy from season 1, that actually got him into the coke business, helped get him into the coke business. So if you remember what Franklin was like from season 1 up till now, you would see that he went from like his innocence is completely gone. Like, this is like full-blown ruthless Franklin Saint. So Leon is full on, he's running the projects in terms of the coke trade. And he has the Crips, the local Crip gang within that project building, you know, taking orders from him and how to deal and what to do. But Leon, he's basically become disillusioned with the drug trade. And who could blame the guy? Like, because of him, a kid got killed. You know? And it started a whole chain of events. Even though technically it was Franklin's fault, because Franklin should have left well enough alone. Scully is still crazy Scully, but the difference is Scully is basically, he's still himself, he's still being him. But now he is going to be, he's a little bit more grounded. And what he did this season was hilarious. But Aunt Louie, she did a lot of snake moves this season that I didn't appreciate, but should have saw coming. Which brings me to, speaking of snake moves, an assassination attempt was made on basically every aspect of Franklin's businesses and associates, including the mother of his child and his mom, because his mom came back from Cuba because she knew that Teddy was the one that killed her husband, Franklin's dad. So she's trying to arrange for Franklin. She's trying to arrange for her, for Teddy to be taken out. Teddy pulls some snake shit that, well, I should have seen it coming. We as the fans should have seen it coming, because it's like, yo, he's CIA. He really doesn't have any allegiances to you as a human, as a boss. He really doesn't have any allegiances to you. But once again, I digress. So she goes behind Franklin's bank back, and she says she wants to cop from Franklin directly, because Franklin is like, he wants to get out of the drug trade. Teddy said, okay, cool. Like, I'm cool with that. You want out? You out. Tells him straight up, you want out of the game, you're out. And it's scary, like. So now, oh yeah, the hits that went down. Turns out, sins of the past have come back to visit Franklin. Remember his friend Kevin in season one that they had to kill before he started a full-on scale war? Well, guess what? Kevin had an older brother named Kane. Ironic. And this guy apparently is a triple OG. Super respected, has super pull in the streets. So Aunt Lou, basically, when they realized who it was, Aunt Louie basically wanted to kick off a war and have the guy dealt with. And Leon was like, no, it's not that simple. Let me go talk to the guy. Let's squash this. Maybe we can get him to work for us. And he took the peace offering. The guy really did take the peace offering. So when Louie once again tried to use her new, oh yes, can't forget about this guy. I can't remember his name, but he's a cop. And he's a part of the what's called the new crash unit, which is an acronym for Community Resources Against Street Criminals. Street criminal hoodlums. Crash. So basically, she got one on her payroll to warn her about certain things. So she basically organized a hit on Kane and put him in the hospital. So when Franklin realized that Teddy double-crossed him, because this was a big thing for the season finale, Teddy basically gypped Franklin for 77 or 72 or 70, doesn't matter, $70 million. Over $70 million in drug money. He gypped him. And he basically ghosted Franklin. Franklin can't find this guy anywhere. So Franklin's panicking. Franklin's mom is like, okay, let's burn it all down. So he robs Aunt Louie because Louie wouldn't help him, you know, get to Teddy. And she's like, this is my opportunity. I can't mess this up. Blah, 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 blah. So Franklin goes and tells Kane who it was that hit him. So Franklin basically, for next season, my prediction is that it's going to be a full-on war. It's going to be a bloodbath. And I can't wait to see it. So a lot of people like saying this year, this season, Snowfall without John Singleton is whack. Like, you guys are wrong. It's still good. It's still good. Almost better than Power. Almost better than Power. Almost. So when we come back, I'm going to talk about a movie that I didn't see originally, but I just recently watched it, and I realized it's so good. And we're talking about a movie that I didn't see when it originally came out, but I recently watched it, and I'm going to give it my review. I'm talking about Disney Pixar's Onward. Now, before I get started with this review, spoiler alert, okay? You've been warned. Secondly, I'm going to say that a lot of people aren't going to agree with what I'm about to say, but in my humble opinion, Onward was better than Frozen. I said it. Onward was better than Frozen. So the movie starts off with we meet Ian Lightfoot. I'm not sure what species this is, but apparently this is the world where magic dominates, but it gets to the point where technology replaces magic. And we're seeing pixies that can't use their wings to fly. We're seeing centaurs that use cars because they can't run. And all types of stuff. So they lose their connection to magic. So we meet Ian Lightfoot. And his dad apparently was, you know, dabbled in magic a bit. His older brother, Barley, who people call a screw-up, but in reality, the guy was who you need beside you. And ultimately, like, the premise of the story is the mother on Ian's 16th or 17th birthday gives him a present from their dad, who he never met because his dad passed before Ian was born. He basically left a spell that they could spend time, that he could come back, they could bring him back from the dead and spend an entire day with him. So somehow the spell goes wrong and only his legs come back. So apparently the reason why Barley could never do the spell because he didn't have magical ability. Ian did. So they go on this harebrained journey to get another piece of equipment to get there to be able to meet with that. Or, you know, say goodbye to them. Their mom moved on and has a boyfriend who is a cop that also is a centaur. And it was funny. I liked it. It was a coming-of-age film. There wasn't really a villain per se. It was kind of like a Goofy movie. Like, for those of you who remember the premise of a Goofy movie, basically about someone getting over themselves. It had a solid message and a solid lesson. I give Onward a 10 out of 10. And I would like to see a sequel from Onward. I honestly would like to see a sequel. So when we come back, I'm going to go over the new trailers for new TV shows coming out this summer. And we're back, so here are some new trailer reviews. Let's start with the much anticipated season 2 trailer for P-Valley. Now we got these trailers gave us a lot, and they're still holding back on what we are going to see this season. And it's supposed to drop later on this year. So if you remember how last season ended, the strip club, The Pink, was up for auction. And Autumn bought The Pink. So now she's the owner of The Pink. But we all know it's Uncle Clifford that really runs that nightclub. And from what we have seen, the actress that plays Wanda on Snowfall is supposed to become a new character on P-Valley. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. So P-Valley is coming back this June. Now the end of this month, the end of this month, we are finally going to get the Star Wars story we have been asking for all this while. The story of Obi-Wan Kenobi and what he was doing the entire time in the desert on Tatooine while guarding Luke Skywalker, a young Luke Skywalker. So we actually get to see live-action Inquisitors and possibly the return of you-know-who himself, Lord Vader. So I'm interested to see that. I can't wait to see it. And another trailer that recently dropped for a movie that is coming out this December, the much-anticipated Part 2 of Avatar, and I'm not talking Avatar Airbender, I'm talking Avatar, the movie that garnered a cult following, which shows a couple of years after what went down in the sequel. All of the original actors are returning, and we're getting some new faces, and it looks like our boy Jake, he has a little family now. He has a wife and kid now. And apparently we have half human, half Navis from what I've seen in the trailer. So I'm gonna be keeping an eye on that. And we finally got it, people. This August, we get the prequel season, Game of Thrones, House of Dragons, which takes place 200 years before the events of Game of Thrones happens. So we are going to see what happens when House Targaryen first came to Westeros and all the original houses swore fealty to them. House Bolton, House Stark, all of the noble houses swore fealty to them. So we're going to see the dragon pits in their glory, all of that. So I'm interested to see that. I'm happy to see it. So basically, it is geekdom. Oh, yes. Tickets have gone on sale for New York City Comic Con. So if you're interested to attend, you might want to get your tickets now, ladies and gentlemen. So, oh, yeah. Before I forget, I might as well review it here. So we are going. So Hasbro has been hitting it out of the park lately. Even though that price jump, maybe they might come down off it. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. We'll see what happens. But they recently dropped new figures for the G.I. Joe Classified series. So we are getting Dusty, Bazooka, and Zarnia of the Dreadnoughts. So that means for all you collectors and people who want to make stop motion cartoons, maybe later on down the line, we could possibly get 6-inch Dreadnoughts. And because the G.I. Joe roster has growing rapidly because they've recently also dropped Sergeant Slaughter, as well as the twins, Tomas and Ziamos. I think that's how you pronounce his name, the two twins that worked for Cobra. Let's just leave it there. And we're also supposed to be getting a trailer for Transformers live action, a new live action Transformers, but it focuses on the Maximals and the Terracons. So I'm interested to see that. I can't wait to see it. And I think that's where I'm going to end this episode. So join me next episode where, in the spirit of Fantastic Beasts, Secrets of Dumbledore, we and some familiar faces review all 7 episodes of Harry, all 7 movies and books of the Harry Potter series. So, until next time, always seek truth, rage against the machine, love, peace, and chicken grease. Deuces!